from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's trying to sound like an announcer on a train to Sleepy Town. Keep your pillows comfortable and your stuff pulled up to your chin if you'd like to. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. But this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need to eat my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The one part of the show I need you to hear so we can keep it free for everybody. And you know who is helping us keep it free is Erin Colleen, supporting Casper. She got a Casper bed. She got a Casper mattress. And I'm really enjoying my Casper hybrid. Just think about the bed you're in now and then think about getting a Casper or check out all of our sponsors over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsor. And then when you support a sponsor like Erin Colleen did, share it with me online, share it with the sponsor so they know where you came from. And then I can say thank you for helping keep the show going. Thanks. Hey, Mystery Bard, I hear I could commission a song from you, and a ton of people work very hard on this show. Any way you could help me out with both of those pieces of information?
Chris Posty poster song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the lecture. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud.
Thanks, Mr. Bird. It's song.jonathanmann.net. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And if you need Sleep With Me in your speaker, you just say, hey, speaker, play Sleep With Me or Sleep With Me podcast. And then afterwards, you could say, hey, smart speaker, set a sleep timer for 60 minutes or whatever you choose. Or you could listen all night. What do you say? We get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's the thoughts, the feelings, the physical sensations, the changes in time or temperature, maybe, you know, so stuff you've been on your mind, stuff that you're feeling physically or emotionally, or just changes, or just you can't sleep. How about that? Or you wake up and you can't get back to sleep. Whatever it is, I'd like to take your mind off that. I got this nice, safe place here. Set aside plenty of room, plenty of personal space, plenty of distance. Very comfortable. Come on in. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use a lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. Holy cow. I don't know, like, I just pictured myself blowing, like, if tangents were a balloon, I'd be a balloon seller. Tangential balloons. That was on my, that album was only released in Germany. That is right, it was under the name Chardonnay Noir. It was my cabaret album, Tangential Balloons. It was a good one. Actually, we just did a dance remix of it, too. But that's another life. What was my point? Oh, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. Really, what I'm here to do is keep you company. If you're new, hi, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Don't worry, we'll talk about inflatable tangents. I think I've talked about that before. But if you're new, here's a couple of things. I'm glad you're here. This podcast is a little bit different. So I don't exactly know, I've been doing it, whatever, almost 800 episodes. I still don't exactly know how to set the expectations. I know if you're skeptical, totally makes sense. And if you're not sure about this podcast, of course, why wouldn't you be? It's a podcast that puts you to sleep. You say, well, so that's why you say, well, I'm not sure how to set the expectation. I'll tell you, this podcast is a little bit different. It does not make a whole lot of sense, and it does take some adjusting to get used to, or not. Like, most listeners say, well, I listened two or three times, and then it stopped. I started falling asleep, and I realized it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I guess, just see how it goes. Just here to help. There's no pressure. And there's no pressure to listen. This is one of the few podcasts you can kind of barely listen to. You could turn me all the way down, but some listeners, you know, turn me all the way up. Most people find it somewhere in between. And so no need to listen. Also, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company. So if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here. And then you could queue up episode after episode. So I'm here to the very end so that you can fall asleep whenever you want. Structurally for the show, what to expect is the show starts off with business that you already heard. That's how we're able to keep the show free for everybody instead of like paid service or whatever. Then there's an intro, which is around 12 minutes of me trying to explain what the podcast is and earn your trust. And the reason it goes on for 12 minutes is just because it takes me forever to get anywhere. And also, a lot of listeners use it as part of their wind down because you say, well, I might overuse the word paradoxical, but it's just because I don't understand how this podcast works either. I don't know if a podcast would work if it said, okay, I'm going to put you to sleep right now, right after this intro. And you'd say, intro, you know, smoothity smooth, 1, 2, 3. I'm here with Scoot's imaginary friend Bill, and we're sponsored by whatever, sleep cream, and here we go, time to go to sleep. That to me seems like a little bit of a wind down, and sometimes I need a stealth wind down, and sometimes I need where I say, okay, I'm gonna get. I actually have a dimmer now, so I dim my lights ideally hours before I want to be to bed. little inside, you know, little inside baseball, as they say. Ideally, after I do the dishes, the next time I'm in my room, if the lights go on, I try to turn the dimmer all the way down. Now, that does lead to some fumbling, but I'm fumbling and bumbling 24/7 anyway. And then, you know, I have a wind-down routine. And ideally, I stretch my wind-down routine over about an hour, but and it can vary. But I think that stealth moment of turning the dimmer on, at least I am empowered, you know. I say, yeah, okay, dimmer's on at least. It's got to be good for sleeping. And I don't know, my point is most listeners need a wind down. Now, some listeners, they don't need it. They fall asleep during the intro or they skip the intro. They go to like 18, 20 minutes and they just start playing the show there. Yeah, so if that works for you, that's great. Whatever works for you, try it out a few times and see how it works. So that's the intro. Then there's some business. Then there's the story, which is tonight will be our episodically modular series, Big Farm in the Sky, PI. And you can listen to those episodes in any order. So if you're new and you say, well, I don't know anything about this series, don't worry, I'll catch up on it. I'm here to keep you company, right, as you drift off. And then there's some thank yous. So that's structurally what to expect. You don't need to listen. No pressure to fall asleep. And what? Oh, so I was talking about inflatable meanders. Is that what inflatable meanders? Yes, I guess if at some point during the intro, I was picturing myself just blowing meanders up. But that would be pretty cool. See, what are those? What letter are those? All are those balloons all W's and curly Q's? Oh, no, these are meander balloons. I guess I should have called the album Meander Balloons. Maybe that should be my new, if I become a DJ. Is that what Marshmallow is? Or does Marshmallow do other stuff? Like stuff that takes talent? Because probably, you know, but for me, well, I could be Meander Balloons. I wouldn't be able to do anything except, I guess I already do it, meander. It could also be a joke, or what are those, like, puzzles, I'll never think of what they're called, where it's like a picture, it's like a pun, but you look at it and you try to figure out what it is, because meander balloons almost sound like meander balloons, which sounds like, I was thinking originally someone standing under the balloons, but I guess you'd say, I guess maybe if you live at the sea, you'd say, yeah, well, I have, well, what do you wear? I didn't see. I don't see your flotation device. You say, "Well, I wear me under balloons." Actually, I'm Carl Cousteau, the youngest of the Cousteau, the great. You know, I'm the fifth generation of the Cousteaus. Carl Cousteau. I wear me under balloons. I'm a founder, and I'm a customer. Me under balloons. That's how I stay afloat. And comfy, except for the sweating part and the fact that they're made of, like, whatever. But, you know, I stay afloat. You see, some people wear leather, some people wear latex. I wear balloons. They say, how do you look so, how do you look so svelte, Carl? And I'd say, well, it's me under balloons. That's what it is. And they say, then the reporter said, okay, so you're actually wearing balloons as underwear. Well, no, well, it's a balloon-based underwear product. It's me under balloons. Well, I am wearing the prototype that I made yesterday with tape. There is also scotch tape. So you're wearing scotch tape and balloons as underwear. No, it's a prototype of me under balloons. And when the prototype's finished, it'll be inflatable. So it'll be like PFD. So say it's also swimwear. It doesn't, you know, it instantly dries because it's balloons. And I wear it as undergarment. Yes, that part is correct. What do you wear when you're wearing nothing, Carl? Well, I don't. I wear me under balloons. Because if I was wearing nothing, I'd actually probably have, like, that's a trick question. Again, I just like to circle back to my roots. So you're wearing balloons as an undergarment. Balloons are part of my undergarment, correct. Okay, let's get back to the sleep podcast. And now that we got that clarified, it's a work in progress. That's Carl Cousteau, one of the imaginary Cousteaus, not to be confused with the actual Cousteaus. and an inventor, imaginary friend and inventor, Carl Cousteau, also customer of Meander, what was it? I already forgot because I wear Meanderwear. Oh, Meander balloons. It's a shame we don't have a budget. You're right, Carl, because I could see many commercials. You see, what do you got under there? Hold on. Meander balloons. Also, anybody listening, don't ever wear, don't put any balloons. Balloons are for, don't make any balloon undergarment prototypes. I'm not even joking. This is all just fictional. Just to clarify that, keep the balloons in the blue, you know, blown up or wherever. Carl, what kind of example are you setting? Well, I thought I was cutting edge. It turns out it's just you're a dreamer, Carl. That's great, you know, because I'm here to enable people's dreams too. And the way I do it is I go off topic. Sometimes I get caught up in interviews that I end up saying, well, it could have gone a different way. But it, like, especially when something's catchy like that, it's hard to get out of. And the name Carl Cousteau is also catchy. So we'll just stick with that. Thanks again for coming by, Carl. Also have a brother named Carl, so that works out cool. Got an editor on the show named Carl. So anyway, I'm here. If you're new, I guess that gives you a pretty good example of how the podcast works. I'm taking your mind off of stuff. I would posit I did maybe there. You say, oh, yeah, I forgot. I was thinking about, what was I thinking about? Well, just think about Meander balloons. Anytime the word spreadsheet tries to get into your head, say Meander balloons. You see, where's that spreadsheet for them? I put it in one of Meander balloons, boss. Let me just get it out of here. It's pretty tight, though, because, you know, it's still in a balloon. Don't worry, they're imaginary. Great. Carl Cousteau invented them, of the imaginary Cousteaus. So anyway, if you're new, I'm here to help. I'm here to keep you company and to take your mind off stuff. I really appreciate you coming by. I make the show because I've been there and I know how it feels, and I want to help. So I think that's it. Give it a few tries, like most listeners say. But I appreciate your time. I work very hard. I earn a nice drive because I'd like to help you fall asleep. And thanks again for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of our Episodically Modular series, Big Pharma in the Sky, PI, Season 2. In a sleep podcast, you can get away with this. What was originally known as the Phantom Minnow season, and still will be, but because it's episodically modular and whatever, you say, well, there's very little Phantom Minnow in this. It's still a catchy title for season two. I think it should be properly called Tweens in the Towns, but that's more, you say, what is that? I guess neither one is super sleep podcasty. But if you're new, oh boy, or if you're coming back for your 11th helping of Big Pharma in the Sky, PI Season 2, the Phantom Minnow season, or more, I'll set everything up for you so you could sleep right through it without having to worry about continuity or anything. Because while those are things I'm aware of and think about, this actually takes place in the real world. The world, same world you and I share, Earth, as it's quaintly known. And it takes place in the state of Florida and in the great retirement community known as the Towns, with an E, T-O-W-N-E-S, the Towns, probably with the LLC or something in there, something holdings. But just the Towns, one of the largest retirement communities in the world. And our series stars a G-G-G-E-E and D-K. Best friends, kind of like sisters, not actually sisters. Twins, I think, though they could be teens, young women will refer to them. I think that's definitely accurate. And they are on an independent study program with DK's Aunt Penny. So their students are doing great in school. They said to their school, hey, what if we go and stay with Aunt Penny for a little while and we run our own business? That could be a semester of school. We'll learn a lot. I mean, let's be honest, they were way ahead of their classmates. They're just both really, great, not just great students, world curious. And so that's what they're doing. And their business happens to be like a PI helping business, where they're helping people solve missing, so that's like where I say, well, what is it, a PI business or something else? I say, well, in a retirement community, as we said at the beginning of this, the case of the missing wallet, it could be a mystery, or it could just be a case of a wallet being missing. And so they've been adaptable with their business. Now you say, okay, where's the Big Pharma in the Sky PI part of the scoots? Well, that's their Uncle Simon, specifically G's Uncle Simon. Once upon a time, before we knew him, actually, before even I knew him, he was an earthly resident, just like you and I. Or some, we shared them, we're all mammals, I guess. And so Simon was, he was a human. I'm just saying, because, dogs, cats, other mammals listen to this show. Maybe some, maybe other beings do too. What up, fishes? Birds, I love you. Even though you can't really pay for the podcast or, spread the word anyway. Glad I'm helping. Z to the L's to the R's, I'm glad I could put some warmth in your cold state, you know how it goes. Can't talk about you during your sleep podcast, so. Well, where was I? So Simon was a human. Then Simon, Simon's, they said, you just like, once upon a time when you were at a grocery store and you wanted something, you took a number. And they would call your number. I think they'd say your number's up or something. They say, now serving number 44. Well, Simon's number went up from Earth. And they said, well, you're transitioning from earthly life suddenly to another level of existence. in Simon's case, it was like a lot, you know, for some people, they go to the big farm in the sky. And the big farm in the sky is a place that's neither on either end of any, it's not, it's a spectrumless place, or beyond the spectrum, because it's neither good nor bad, nor in between. Or maybe it's all of those things. I mean, you say, well, Scoots, how is that possible? I say, well, if it's all, so it's a place where you go after your post-earthly realm, not that different than Earth, just more possibility. And also Simon got a chance to say, well, what do I want to do now that I've lived a post-earthly life? And Simon decided in Simon's post-earthly life to be a PI. And that was season one, which you can find in our archives, Big Farm in the Sky PI. No, I don't think it was called season one because it was just the first season. And so that was season one. Simon was in the Big Farm in the Sky figuring out cases as a PI, getting help from earthly friends at G&DK. Now in season two, G&DK are running their business in the towns and they're getting help from Simon. Also, another great thing is that it just happens to be that Simon handles the narration duties of all these stories, because Simon keeps a lot of audio notes, and that's how we got access to all this stuff. So I think that's it. Like, G&DK are in the towns in Florida solving cases, and Uncle Simon's helping them. Now, when we last left off, I think Simon will kind of fill you in. But just to do a little bit of extra place setting, if we haven't set the, you see, Scoots, how long have you been setting the, how long does it take you to set a table? Let's see, there's two different things. You want me to set the place setting or table setting? Those are two different jobs. So a table setting take me about 6-7 minutes. And then the place setting will take me a little bit less because Simon was in the big farm in the sky when we last left off. Also, go back to setting the table. You might say, so Scoots, okay, so, you know, this isn't my belief system, but I could believe that there's another belief system where you go to the big farm in the sky. Yeah, because, you know, we can all agree that belief systems may, you know, they don't invalidate one another, particularly on a sleep podcast. So you say, okay, I can do a suspension of belief systems for that, Scoots. But you say Sam is a post-earthly resident, but is helping two kids in Florida. I say, well, young women, by the way, in Florida, because you call them tweens earlier, Scoots. Well, yeah, just tweens is a more catchy title. Okay. Who's helping his niece and his best friend solve cases and help people. How's that work? Okay, great question, actually. And I could try to do it briefly. So in the big farm, most people go to the big farm, they just go there. They don't have communications with Earth. That's standard protocol. It's similar to a lot of some movies where standard protocol, you see, well, you're going on your next stage of existence. When when your cat Milford gets here, we'll let you know and you can hang with Kim Milford. But until then, just enjoy a big farm in the sky. Now, there are, you know, just like everything else, there's a great, just the big farm's a great, beautiful, diverse place, just like Earth is. And just one tiny piece of this, differences is that some people can, you know, talk to Earth, whatever, but it's very rare for people to be able to go visit Earth, you know, because we're trying to do our earthly stuff. We can't have big farmers coming down here and saying, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? This doesn't fit within my like normal day-to-day things. So I think we've pegged it mathematically at like 1 in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 billion chance that you say, well, I just happen to have the ability to go between the big farm in the sky and Earth and communicate with Earth, like my niece, in this case, Simon's niece and niece's friend. So it's just a very rare thing. Just to point that out, that now there's this special moment we're getting to participate in and rest to. But that you say, because you say, well, it doesn't add up otherwise, Scoots. And I'm sure there's mathematicians listening that are saying, wait a second, those numbers kind of do say, well, yeah, I guess it, like every once in a while, I'm, you know, I said it once, I'll say it again. Clock's wrong, you know, broken clocks are right two times a day. That's what you meant, Scoots. Right, sometimes you just happen to look at the a broken clock at the right time is what I would say, and the time is right. And you know what the time is right for? Is a great Hollywood celebrity here to do the teaser, the lead into the episode. He's a kind man. He's a gentleman. He's a handsome man. And he's a man, you know, that puts up with a lot, drives here from L.A. in his spare time. Then has gotten so much better at lying still and quietly without needs, you know, other than, you know, like, you know, just like you say, wow, how do you do? I guess that's how you act to Mr. Antonio Banderas. As the ladies and gentlemen, as the boys and girls, the friends beyond the binary, it's time for the big farm in the sky. Let's crack this case. Hiya. You know, do you know that that's strange, that hiya, because that's kind of how I do the Miss Piggy, my Miss Piggy imitation. Oh, yes, I enjoy that. And no, it's different than acting. Lying still is me. I'm listening to the podcast just like a fan of your show would. As a friend and a fan, I'm looking forward to lying. And now, you know, after being in traffic for 9 hours, not having, you know, not, you know, lying and not moving for a while and listening to the show. Thank you. This is Mr. Antonio Banderas, everybody, and this is Big Firm in the Sky PI. Hey, Diane, it's me, Simon. I'm taking it on faith you can hear me, Diane. And that you remember. But I guess I'll just fill you in, Diane, catch you. So, Diane, I had flown here with the parrot, you know, the parrot situation. Not important, Diane. But we had gone through some crossover stuff, and I did change into the Phantom Minnow. And I don't seem to be able to get back to Earth, Diane, and I haven't figured that out to CG and DK. And I've been unable to contact them, Diane, and I could see what's going on down there. First, I couldn't even see what was going on down there, so maybe things are coming back. And I've been meaning to make time. It's just an adjustment. I'm here at the house. And I don't know, things are different, you know, but again, I said, well, I can't expect everything to be like it used to be in my other life. But so I don't know what's going on. I'm still a Phantom Minnow. Yeah, but I'm still me, you know, Diane, but, I don't know. So I can't, it's like a transformer that, I think one time I heard about this happening. And luckily, it's not a toy now, so I could say it without any, you know, in case any kids listen in, Diane, of taking a transformer and then gluing it in one, like if it wasn't yours and you borrowed it. Also, Diane, a transformer is something that changes from a robot into a vehicle normally. But so if you transformed it and then with glue and then you just glued it as the robot or as the vehicle. Like Bumblebee is a good example currently. That's kind of what I'm like. That's not a nice thing to do, though. If it's your own, you'd probably be disappointed, too, unless you said, well, I love... I mean, there was one, Diane, I remember seeing... I think it was one of my... I don't know. It was somebody they were playing with. It was a microscope guy. But it wasn't a very good microscope, so it was better off just changing into a robot anyway. I think there was also one that was a boombox. So Diane, I'm stuck in Phantom Minnow mode, a bit like a fishing lure. That's what I look like when I'm not all grandiose or like a minnow. But I have like three bodies. It's just interesting, Diane. I mean, this is a different world anyway. Nobody's blinking their eyes at me. Yeah, but so what was I saying? Okay, so I can see G and DK kind of at times. but I can't check in with them, and I can't see them all the time. But that's always been the policy, because, you know, they need, you know, they need their own time. And I did ask around about this, is like, you know, I knew it was rare to be able to go visit Earth, and I don't really tell people I can do that. But even people, watching back there, really not the thing. And now I know why. Because if you could, it's actually better that I could go back there. Because being able to check in every once in a while and not talk to them is not easy. And then not going to see them, I say, I miss G and DK. Yeah, so it's not easy. Holy cow. And especially right now, Diane, because G and DK, they've been dealing with, they have a lot going on. Yeah, so maybe I should just get into that. So, you know, they've been studying and running the business with Aunt Penny's, the PI business I've been helping them with. And it was going good, and they were doing that for a grade. And now that spring break is coming up, they had to submit before spring break. I guess surprised the poor teachers probably got to read all this stuff on spring break. Yeah, but this was a few weeks before spring break. They had a big layout due of their entire business plan. Like, so basically, a majority of their grade they were going to get now, and then the teacher would give them notes. I think 60% of their grade was coming from this report, and maybe 70%. And then after the teacher gives them notes back, they could refine it. But, you know, so the school year comes after spring break, you know, it goes fast. So they would do a final draft, I guess. And things were going mostly great. You know, there are challenges, you know, not every case they could crack, and, you know, not easy. Plus they missed their friends, you know, they had to navigate that they're not actually sisters, but they're spending all this time together, not being around a lot of other kids, being a lot around retirees, living with, they've gone, you know, they've really grown. And, but then suddenly there was like some added other, learning opportunities, I guess, if I was keeping in the educational spectrum here. Oh, Diane, this is another question I figured you would be asking yourself. I can't check in on anybody else. I think that's something somebody else, or maybe some part of my brain said, wonder if you could check in. I wonder what's going on at this, my favorite restaurant, Marley G's. And then I couldn't check. So I can't check on anything else. I just wanted to clarify that. So I got to tell you, I'm just walking around here. And my place, I'm going outside now. You can see, it won't sound any different to you, Diane. But I know it's a lot of stuff. Like when G and DK are dealing with stuff and I can't help, it's not easy for me. And I think maybe I'm growing, you know, because... you know, I said, well, they're independent. You know, they're dealing with things. It's not mine to control. And, you know, mostly I was watching them finishing up this final report and submitting it, or the, you know, lead up to the final reports. You know, imagining them, you know, the independent study, this is their whole, it's not just for one class, you know, this is their whole credits for the semester. And, you know, but I said, well, they're really doing a good job. They're kind of talking about the pluses and the not pluses and the sustainability. And, you know, that's all interesting. You could just read the report, I guess. And I figured this is the Keystone Project. I said, Keystone Report of the project. And I said, okay, I think they're going to not probably, whatever the decisions were moving forward. They felt good about turning it in. I felt pretty good about it. If the whole purpose of this was for them to learn and grow, the job done, because they've learned a lot of lessons, interpersonal skills, business skills, learning skills. And nobody ever teaches you how to learn, you know, Diane? You know, math, finances, you know, organizational skills, spatial relations, my, you know, total geometry, all of it, Diane, you know, like this theater of life even. Yeah, but then after they finish the report, you know, we have had some, you know, we haven't had a, like, so what is it, Moriarty or Solieri, you know, any of those, Solieri, Moriarty, you know, Don Bacardi, whoever the nemesis are. I don't know, did Encyclopedia Brown or Nancy Drew or the Hardy Boys or Big Nate or Thea Stilton, Geronimo Stilton, Fancy Nancy, did they have nemesis? Diane, probably, maybe, I wonder. I know everybody says Fancy Nancy's not a detective, Diane, but when I figure out the case of me being fancy, then I'll know. So I think what happened was that G&DK's profile kept growing as they got more and more cases solved. And we, you know, if they did have a nemesis, I think that's what I was saying, it would be the splainers, which is a mysterious thing that maybe we were even imagining existed. Was there some group of probably older males that was displeased with G&DK's presence and positive attention and empowerment that was trying to be nemesis-like or put obstacles in their path? We said they couldn't be, or could it be, you know, the fake cases we dealt with, the case of the rabbit feed. Did we say rabbit feed or rabbit feet? But so, so with success and ignore, I guess we learned the most important thing is to ignore the splainers. If they were there, we just keep ignoring them, because that would really rub them. You know, the way they want to be right. It's, oh, thank you for, and I said, have I been splaining? And maybe this distance from G&DK is good, but it's not easy, Diane. So where was I? So, so usually things have been going pretty smooth. And maybe this is all unrelated in projection, but suddenly the rules changed on us. Or on G&DK and Aunt Penny. Because Aunt Penny had gotten a permit to have G&DK stay with her for longer than 30 days in one calendar period, which is a normal rule. And, you know, I think we talked about that. I don't know, but she had gotten a permit for that. And normally there was never oversight about businesses that kids were running. But suddenly someone showed up and they said, oh, well, you don't have a business license to operate a service-based business out of this home, and you're not actually residents of the town. And all these layers of bureaucracy, they said, you don't, not a resident. Also in this county, you know, you're not of working age. So how are you going to have a business if you can't work there when you're the workers? And this stuff was never, ever enforced. Then they said Aunt Penny's, because in light of this, they were going to re-examine Aunt Penny's resident permit exemption. And, you know, just sure up, like, you say, well, what are you bugging us for? G&DK are just helping people. And it's not like they're hooting and hollering and running around. But what we really felt like was that it was somewhat warning shot from the splainers. I mean, that's what how I felt when I would imagine talking to G&DK. And so they said, no, you can't run any more of these businesses. Your cases are closed. And this kind of put G&DK in a huff, because they're not exactly myopic or naive to this situation. And so they felt like it was some sort of machination. And you know, other people said, well, you're making a mound out of a molehill. And I know I was up here, I was huffing and puffing, Diane. And I was positive that I didn't know who was behind it, but I didn't like who was behind it, and that my goat was gotten. And I think how GNDK felt like that, but then they said, okay, well, we submitted a report. We'll start, we'll see what the teacher says, and this is maybe another learning opportunity. And they even worked with some of the free services available for young business people to say, well, are they actually portraying the rules and the regulations accurately to us? So they were, despite being, like, they were originally empowered with irritation, but then they were empowered to real action and trying to look at it and say, okay, well, our time was almost up anyway, and we were adjusting the business model. So this is, again, part of this adjustment. And I do think that this is where, I don't think they needed me there, Diane, but they missed me, I felt like, and maybe it was just because I missed them. Well, because that was good to help them talk it out, for them to find their own solutions. And so they were there talking to me, even though I wasn't there. And also, like, to help the feelings get fresh air, or whatever they say, sunshine. And I feel like if I was there present, it'd be easier to, you know, I would be there to validate things a little bit more and say, well, that's perfectly okay that you feel, do you two want to stomp your feet around, with it, because this is a kind of stomping your feet. Do you two want to lie down and moan or curl up in balls? Because Uncle Simon will be here to listen to you. So I did all those things here. But then GNDK got focused. So they went back to working on the report. They actually contacted their teacher and updated her and what was happening. And they were already adjusted when then, the things were taking up another notch, because then DK, G and DK, like, they heard from school board, and then the teacher heard from the principal and the district manager about, like, someone told on them and said, these two have been operating a non-licensed bit, like basically saying that, invalidating all GNDK and the teacher's work, and saying who agreed to this. This was anonymous to us, or anonymous to me processing all this or GNDK's analysis of all this, but that they weren't learning anything other than breaking rules. What kind of lesson is that for kids to learn? And I would say, excuse me, but, and like, what kind of, how could a teacher be a part of this? And basically demanding that they get no school credit for the entire semester. And this was kind of a big deal because they had already, GNDK already had summer plans for something else, flourishing related, not school related. And because they're in middle school, this means they wouldn't go to high school with all their friends. Because they were actually getting like a semester and a half's worth. So that basically they would get, they would be set back. They would lose their credits if they didn't go to summer school, which would be even hard for them to make the credits up. They would miss a year of school or a half, you know, three quarters of a year of school. And her teacher kind of went through all this with GNDK and like Aunt Penny and GNDK, you know, G's parents, who were also DK's, you know, the family was dealing with it with the teacher. And the ridiculous of this and kind of saying, well, this is bureaucracy. This is yet another learning opportunity. And that even navigating this is really expansive, not easy. And again, I wished I could have been there and that was part of the process and that they would appeal it or whatever, like that this wasn't going to go. You know, but the hard thing was that it was like, you two are going to have to hold on, like, while, like, that suddenly, very similar to me, the control of everything was turned over to these adults. In some sense, it was a strange echo form of splaining to say, okay, you two just wait while the grown-ups figure this out. And you say, well, you're not figuring out like grown-ups from what I can see from out here. But so they were all trying to deal with it, deal with the bureaucracy, deal with this unseen hand. And also there was also this sense of inherent unfairness that made it difficult when G and DK first proposed this of why do these two get to go and run their own study thing? And they were trying to do it, you know, just say, well, because we had the initiative, we did all the work to propose it and enact it. It's just not something that happened, and the school just said, okay, do whatever you want. So there was also some residue from that, and the splainers are good at, you know, doing that. And there was this thing of like, oh, you have to get back here immediately for this thing, and, you know, all the adults in G&DK said no, they're running, like, they're supposed to be finishing out their work for the semester there. So you're saying they have to come to this talk would mean they wouldn't finish out, like, the commitments they already have. And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds in this, Diane, but so G&DK, Mom and Dad, Aunt Penny, the teacher, they were all a team. But G&DK's reaction to all this and not being able to be a part of the appeals process or the decisions, they were mad, M-A-D, Diane, very mad. And they reacted differently than I've seen them before in a focused way. Now, again, I don't want to say it wasn't because I was there, but they didn't have anyone to run these ideas by and to bring it up first. So I don't know if I could have been a voice of moderation or reason, or if I'm just, you know, saying, Simon, you're more important than you think you are, just because I miss them. But plus, when I'm away, it just seems everything seems more mysterious anyway, Diane. Also, maybe it was my fault, some of this, because I started to try to, like, you know, when you see movies, there's the force, and there's moving things with force. And so I said, I wonder if I could communicate with them by moving stuff. You know, I can't physically go to see them. And so what I would do, it's like, you know, when people in the movies, they hold their hand to their head and they close their eyes and they furrow their brow. And try to move stuff around. And so around this time, G&DK started a lemonade stand. And I think it was just out of, so they would have this public, like, it was something to do. And it was a stone soup lemonade stand for all their friends. They had, like, kind of like a good, like, an ongoing goodbye party. And to say, hey, we're not going anywhere, splainers, until it's time for us to leave. And, you know, one of their customers had that place right by the pickleball and the tennis court. So they had a stone, kind of like stone soup lemonade stand where they would sit there with lemonade for free. And people that wanted it could just come and get it, but also you could bring ingredients or contribute to the cost. And so they would sit there and do that, and they would sip lemonade with their friends and with other people that were new friends. And, you know, then they got visited by they said, well, you can't take money for that. And they said, okay, we're not taking any money. Don't worry about it. And they said, well, you don't have a permit to be giving away, I don't know. And so G&DK kept getting more and more frustrated because they were getting their lemonade stand shut down. But many people had brought lemonade ingredients. So the first time I tried to move something was after they said, well, you don't have a health permit to do this. And so I think what happened was I accidentally knocked over some of that. It wasn't Country Time. It was like a Publix pink lemonade powder. And I spilled it on the floor in front of G&DK. But I think it was in the middle of their brainstorming. And I wasn't paying attention because I was trying to push things. And they said, Uncle Simon, and they looked at the spill of lemonade, and then I spilled a whole basket of lemons, and I think they saw that as a sign from me to take things to another level eventually. And so the Splainers had to shut down their lemonade stand. Now, what they didn't realize was that this was right at the, towards the beginning, like they had set things in motion with G&DK leading up to spring break. And this year just happened to be a year that almost all spring breaks in the entire country were lined because of the first moon and full moons in spring and all the different holidays that revolve around that. It just happened to be that most, almost, it was just a, like a, like a, a blue, once in a blue moon thing of like so many majority of schools in the U.S. having the same spring break. And what this meant is that a ton of people were coming to the villages for spring break, grandchildren, to stay with their grandparents. And I guess what, and everybody goes to the pools. Every little town, village in the towns has its own pool. And some are family pools and some are adult-only pools. So these were the family pools. Also, a lot of kids would be there with their parents and their grandparents. People have devices. At this point, word of mouth for G&DK through all their customers and their friends was very good. And so G&DK, I guess, had a plan. I missed out on this part somehow. And somehow they got it through the word of the mouth, and because everybody would be at the pools talking, and also through their devices, but mostly one-on-one, that like a couple days into spring break, one morning. Now, the town's day, and you might hear me say it's a big, it's like a 160,000 people or so. You know, 60, 80,000 homes. But so one morning at around 11 a.m., across the villages in the thousands, Diane. So all the groceries, the G&DK had prepared for this, obviously, but the thousands of lemonade stands popped up around the towns. And it was just one of those perfect days where the weather was hot and everybody had it. And then at like 2 p.m., right when the Splainers caught wind of it, and there was nothing they could do because there were thousands of lemonade stands, right by late afternoon, the lemonade stands were gone. But the Splainers were kind of running around. And then the next day, nothing happened. But this is like the rhythms of spring break are like if you're by like the late middle of the week, you could only go to the pool and go out for ice cream and drive around, you know, so many times. So then in the morning, all of the lemonade stands, and again, they'd said they'd sent out emails, oh, no lemonade stands, this was against, blah, blah, blah. But one morning after, again, not only was there thousands of lemonade stands that popped up, Diane, all the lemonade stands were themed. And not only that, there was like, I guess this is G&K, I'm so proud of them. They had this app or a plugin or something with a map, I don't know. And you could do all these walks, like a lemonade stand crawl. And you could, you know, obviously you couldn't go to 1,000, but you could go to the ones in your neighbor, in your village or neighborhood in the towns, or just go to the ones that are Hawaiian themed. Just go to the ones that are based on heroes or heroines. Just go to the historical reenactment themed ones. And each one had games and giveaways. And so now you have the towns full of all these. Now, a lot of people didn't even know about the lemonade stands because there are only thousands. But there's tens of thousands of guests. And now they have something fun to do all day. And so they're touring around, they're finding out about this app, and they're walking from lemonade stand to lemonade stand. Now, of course, the Splainers were calling this protest marches, but they were just walking on walking paths. And, I mean, I think I would call it the Great Lemonade Spring myself, Diane. Yeah, but yeah, everyone was walking and they were marching and really making a show of stuff. And you know, G and DK were behind all, you know, Aunt Penny, some other people helped. And even G and DK's teacher had come with some of the students. That was already planned. It was not related. And then the next day again, lemonade stands were gone, Diane. And, you know, then GNDK, I guess, had a big debate about whether to do one more last act of, like, empty lemonade stands or make your own lemonade stands or what. And I don't think they slept. Instead, what they did was they took the maps idea and just made all these fun walks for everybody to do based on the lemonade stands and what they discovered from the data from the lemonade stands, what they knew about the, already about the towns, other things people had marked on these map, I don't know, the map plugins or whatever, Diane, I don't know that stuff. And suddenly there was this, they had this application, and then things just happened from there, Diane, that, you know, Splainer, this was online, it was in, like, this was their new business, I guess I'll just tell you to, and then they had this better idea. Now, this didn't all happen in the spring break, but moving forward, and I'm still trying to get back there, Diane. Don't worry. I have a plan that I'm going to carry out in a couple of days. But so they have this new business called 7500 Step Tours for the residents of the towns that they could purchase from a company that's not based in the towns because it's the internet. And because they said, well, you usually walk 2,500 steps just by yourself, but if you want to watch those extra 7,500 steps, here's a bunch of different walks you could do around the towns. You could go see these sites, you know, the bird walks it built on that. You could take a shuffleboard tour, but, you know, pickleball, pickleball watching, also, you know, Diane. And they submitted that with their teacher. They worked with their teacher to say, well, okay, this is where we're going to base the business out of where we live outside of Florida then. And this is the business that our original business informed. And this is what we learned. And so by the time the presentation of school board and all that came around, you know, all of these explainers were left slack-jawed because they had actually, like, their obstacles had empowered GNDK to solve things even further. And, you know, mostly GNDK just ignored them, which is what works always. And I just hope I can get back there to do some of these tours before GNDK leave Florida and get back and say hi to them. And, you know, because I'm not I'm a big farm resident. It's not the same hugging, but it's still like just seeing them. But it's good, Dan. They've succeeded in the face of people making it harder on them. And then I know it's just so nice. And I'm so, like, I could see them resting, satisfied that they actually made lemon, laid out of lemons, Diane. Oh boy, am I proud. I'll talk to you soon. I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Jennifer, Dinah, and Kim. Thanks and good night. Sophie, Suzanne, and Kathleen. Thank you. Thanks and good night. Heather, Anna, and Jody. Thanks and good night. Rochelle, Sarah, and Anna. Thanks and good night. Heather C. That was Heather S. earlier. Janine and Linda. Thank you. Thanks and good night. Christine, Paula, and Philip, thank you, thanks, and good night. Valerie, Pamela, and Adrienne, thanks, and good night. Destin, Aaron, and Lauren, thank you, thanks, and good night. Tim, Isabella, and Richard, thanks, and good night. Orly, Charlie, and Claire, thanks, and good night. T, K, and Dominic, thanks, and good night. Nolan, John, and Panda, thanks, good night. Kim, Megan, and David, thanks, good night. The Closet, Catherine, and Angela, thanks, good night. Rose, Robin, and Barbara, thanks, good night. Stephen, Cartoon, and Amanda, thanks, good night. Yasmin, Barb, and Nikki, thanks, good night. Alicia, Amy, and Lissette, thanks, good night. Christina, Jessica, and Jasmine, thanks, good night. Zebra, Alex, and Kristen, thanks, good night. Susan, Chanel, and Alice, thanks, good night. Anthony, Natalie, and John, thanks, good night. Jack, Mike, and Mary Jo, thanks, good night. H, Joseph, Gregory, and Allie. Thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. If you want to become a patron, too, you can go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron. Sleep With Me exists because direct listener support and places like Patreon and people that support our sponsors. So I really appreciate that. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents, one of my favorite podcasts out there. Based on one of my favorite pieces of fiction is Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. And it's a podcast about looking at Harry Potter in a new way, in a much deeper way, where you find a meaningful conversation. A real, like when you're looking for a deeper connection in this world, this is one of the podcasts you can do it through. And you can find it in your podcast app of choice, Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, or at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And that's it. There's plenty more episodes ready to go for you if you need them. Good night.
All right, everybody. It is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.